Okay, we'll start. We're holding here in Chavtes. Okay. Vayero Yehuda vayechshevo lezayna ki chisopaneo. So the pasuk says that Yehuda thought she's a zayna because she was covering her face. So you might ask, mishum the kisopaneo vayechshevo lezayna? I mean, it doesn't make sense. A person who covers themselves is a tanua. She was somebody who, when she was living with him still as a father-in-law, she covered her face. She was tznua, and b'meila didn't recognize her. And therefore she was zeicha minolam mitama neviim nechsev chazon yishai ben amitz melachim mi David. Vamra Levi David ze masa is mesayas v'deinu avaseinu amitz v'amatzia achim heim. So b'meila, since they were their brothers, that means a king and a navi both came out of kings, and neviim both came out of her, and that's because she was snu v'esavia. Let's take a look in the Maral over here. Kolkala shitznua, pirish, ki royish shatznius goyim lemalchus onavim. So he speaks over here specifically why it is that tznius is as a schooler for malchus onavim. Now the Gemara does bring, for instance, about kimchis, that she was zeichet to have children kanim gdolim. And that was a schus of tznius because the house never saw her hair, but that's something different because kahuna one associates naturally with kedusha. It's sort of is a lot more, what's the right word for it? It's a lot more intuitive. Here nevuah malchus is nice, but how come? I mean, what's the direct catch with tznius? Snus ties a person down very strongly to physicality. A person's tainuk and a person's sense of where he is and what he's at is where his interest is. And Arias is an extreme chomristic focus. It's all about flesh and blood. It's all about a goof. And therefore, a person who is into it is very chomri. A person who's mekadosh himself is moving away from that. And therefore, you are becoming more ruchni. V'ashem iskatsan azusu asoyas agashen. L'chein amruzal kol kalosh yitznu b'eschamea zeich v'yetzimena melochem neviyim. So the two things that are especially hefech, things that are chomrius, are malchus nevua. Ke'am lochem yesh le'mailen delz agashen v'chaspail le'maila. U'lekach hoya melochem nimshachem shay mishrach moy koyin kli koydish. So first of all, malachim are something that is a davar ruchni for many reasons, but malchus represents two things. Malchus is the sum total of Klal Yisrael. It means he has to be more than any particular person in Klal Yisrael. Every particular person in Klal Yisrael is his own guf. That defines our self vis-a-vis our best in Klal Yisrael. This is me, this is my goof, and therefore that's how I define myself as a self. When I talk about Klal Yisrael, I'm talking about a musig that is above any particular person, and it's a ruchnistic musig. It's not just a convenient way to say all the people that live in Israel, all the people that had Jewish mothers. I'm talking about a certain ruchnistic metzias, and a king embodies it. A king is sort of the center of gravity, or what's called a klal. So a king has to be, in a sense, a ruchnistic entity. Secondly, we believe that the Lev Melachim Zeh Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga of Klal Yisrael is through a king. It says, L'asadavu Hashem will be Malkom. Today, the Hanhaga Shemayim, which is Miyuchid for the Klal, all takes place through the agent of a Melech. And therefore, the Melech himself, in a sense, embodies like a Malach. He's a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a Maila Ruchnis that they have. And that's why a Melech, the Meshich of a Melech was the same as other Kli Kodesh. Because at first glance, it's a Pella. A Koyin deals all day long with Beis HaMikdash and Korban, so on and so forth. Okay, that's a Meshich. Kli Kodesh have a Meshich. But a Melech deals all day long with the army, the garbage, the bureaucracy, and so on. Why in the world does he need to have Meshicha? What's holy about him that's Meshicha? The answer is the Anhaga of Klal Yisrael as Anhaga is Kedushtik. The Yosef Melech Kedusha, Melech Koyin Lenovik, is after Zhorius, the Melech goes first. And, you know, many possible reasons, but a Melech means, a Novi is only there for specific Dvar Hashems. Kadosh Baruch Hu calls him, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, say this and this, and he says it. The day-to-day interaction of a Navi is not from Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not Hashem. A Melech, everything that he does, if the Melech is a good Melech, everything he does, is he's the agent of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha. So Melech has a lot more Kedusha is expressing. Olefikach ama kol kalashi tznuo beis chamea, so there's this mida connected mida. If she herself is rooted in Kedusha, then whoever comes out of her has shaykh zat Kedusha. I would just like to emphasize the word beis chameh over here. It's a dava pashit. The klapi, a person's father, there's the assumption that there is no hargasha of chait under normal circumstances, and b'meila, you know, that's that. The closest person who is already in the getter of chet is an erva, is chamiha. So she's b'beis chamiha, she's there, and yet she has to act with total tznius. That's very hard. You know, there's craving like a father and a son that there is no dinim of harayis. We assume that people are above those don't have that gushes. So over there, there's no real mockum. I mean, this is a nice smile, but it's not a richuk from harayis per se. A person who's outside the etzim, a normal person is not so given to. But somebody that you're very close to, if you bebeis chameo, means she has to be mafchin between the baal and chameo, even though they're both in the same house and they're together. That's a mildly yisera. Okay, so the hemshech is in this memra. He mutzeis v'sholchel chameo. She was taken out and sent off to her. They found her and she was sent off to her father-in-law. He mitoitzes mi boile. What does it mean, he motzeis? It should be he mitoitzes. So he says, Amar ablazel la'acha shenimtsu simoneo bo smol v'richkon bo gavril v'kirvan. V'aynechsiv l'amtzeich al yonis ilom rechoykim le'dovid michtom. Amar b'echnem b'shosh nisrach gu simoneo nasis kiyoni lemes. So the Gemara finds a remez in the pasuk that there was a game going on between Smoil and Gavriel. Smoil is the Satan, the bad Malach, who would like to see her toasted, because David HaMelech would come out and all the Malchus, you know, there would be way too many good things coming out of her. Whereas Gavriel was on her side. So the only way she would say something was by the simonim. So she produced the simonim, and then Samuel took it away. Gavriel brought it and swallowed it away, and so on and so forth. Okay. What's interesting here is Gavriel is not a nice malach. I mean, as malachim go, may be very, very nice, but Gavriel is the malach of Midas Adin. Gavriel, as opposed to Michoel, is the malach of Kal Yisrael. It's unfortunate passing the Neil, Michoel Sarchem. Michoel is the malach of Kal Yisrael. We always look at him as being Midas HaChesed, Midas HaToiv, and Bchinas Mayim. Gavriel is Bchinas Eish and Midas Adin. And the pasuk here, the Memor and Chazal are saying that even Midas HaEish was on her side. Midas Adin was her side. It was only Samuel who is something else, the Sarashal Esav, that was against her. It's fascinating. Gemara says by Hanan Shom Azariah, there was a question who would go down and call the fire off, and it says that they said that Gavriel should go because it's a bigger nace if fire calls down fire. So here we find an interesting interplay that it was Gavriel that was on her side, and even though he was a Sashalesh, versus Samuel, who obviously was not on her side. So the Gemara says that David michtam sheyotzim ena David shemoch v'tom lekoil. David came out of her was an extremely humble person. Davaacha michtam shemakosoy tama. David Amelach was noilad mol shneilad shumol. Davaacha michtam keshem shebekatnusa hikten atzmaitz mishigalim imena lumar teira. Kach begadlusa hikten atzmaitz mishigalim imena lumar teira. He was somebody, David HaMelech was somebody that he always humbled himself from others, and he would always be ready to learn by different people. That's David HaMelech. So she showed a certain sign of extraordinary humility, not pushing herself, and this was something where David HaMelech came from, and that was one of David HaMelech's cause midas, that he was always a makabel and ready to hear and so on and so forth. Let's see the morale. He mutzes mi boile in lahakshus duma de lom yichtev kach. So he mutzes shape beinani. So he has a dicta question over here, and he deals with it. And he says, we can skip this piece. He basically focuses on the dikduk, and which is a stronger lashon hara. Al yoinas elam rechaykim, ki malchus beis David yotza adei katnus v'shiflus, ki ato nigza sheitze malchus David la'olam, boye yoitza adei shahoysa kima yoinas shu idufa, she'en lecha oif nirdaf yoysa kima yoina, rachnikus yoinas elam rechaykim. V'dav ze goyim she'roysha malchus David, she'mach v'tam. So, the hallmark of Malchus David is the extreme of another of shiftless and so on. He says the reason is because since the Malchus comes from David, David is that person that sets the stage for the Malchus. Had David a Malchus, Malchus David a de Gaiva, hey Rosha Malchus ba Gaiva Gdula. Had the Malchus started by an act of Gaiva, he would have been Malchus Gdula. Avl ato Malchus sheneschadesh adei shehoise toma mashpelas atzmo. Hoyerosha Malchus. The most sheirishtik of Maisa that brought about David was a Maisa of tremendous achno and shiflis. Vashu ika Malchus ika Malchus ashmoi gamkein baal anava. So b'meila, that's how we would call the Malchus. We would call the Malchus anava. I'd like to speak a minute about this and understand why is another such an important mida for the Malchus. If anything, I have a little bit of a kasha. Shaul HaMelech seemed to be a very big anav. He was a big anav. It says Shaul HaMelech did not tell his father about, did not tell anybody about the fact that he was anointed as a king. That certainly is a type of anava, humility, etc. Shaul HaMelech couldn't face the nation, and therefore, you know, he didn't want to make a fuss about it, and therefore the Machlokes take away from him. There was a problem with his Anava. So, in general, why would Anava be a specific Mila for this? And two, I mean, we see that Shaul lost out. And Shaul, because he was an Anav, it got in his way. So David, it didn't, but at least, but certainly, why would this be a core value for Malchus? That's a shayla I want to put down. So the point is like this. We're making a mistake when another means a mida that myself is not at all involved. I'm not involving myself. So when a person is has his own self that he's worried about, so he can sometimes be very meek also. A person is meek because I'm afraid that if I say something, it's going to be very unpopular. People will say we're disappointed in you. People say you're making a big mistake. You're an idiot. We thought that you're smarter than that. Whatever it is. Whenever if I'm conscious of myself, so I'm involving that piece of the in my decisions. So when I make a decision for everybody, the decision is not pure tachlis. It includes a little bit about myself. It's just a little better. So even if I'm not overtly pushing something just to give myself some, something good, I'm still including myself in the equation. This is a good mesechta to learn yeshiva because I have a lot of shurim prepared in it. The shurim I have in this mesechta are very, very good. Whatever it is, there's another piece in the puzzle. An ideal melech should not have any self involved. This means that both ways, both directions, I can make sometimes very strong decisions and not care because it's nothing about myself. There's a very, interesting exchange between the Satmar Rav and Rav Moshe Blau. Rav Moshe Blau was the head of Aguda in Eretz Yisrael in the 40s. He was a widely respected person, but Satmar Rav obviously did not like Aguda and like anything about it and so on. So the Rav Moshe Blau once said about himself, there is a lot to criticize about my personal life, but nothing about my public life. And it's my public stance about every issue is right. Me as a person, yes, there's many shortcomings. The Satmar Rav smiled and he said, I would actually say the exact opposite. I think on a personal level, Rav Moshe is irreproachable. He's everything's above reproach, but his public decisions, I think, are terrible. But Al Kaponim, the humility gives you the ability. It's not humility as much as another means your own self is just not involved in what you're doing. So when it comes to the Malchus, I'm totally involved with what's good for the Lucha. So if it requires an unpopular stance, I don't have a problem doing it. The fact that I'm not going to become less popular, I'm not dependent on people's people's feelings about me for me to feel positive. And therefore, Anava is an extraordinary mida for Malchus. It's almost, if you want the Malchus to succeed, it has to be like that in extreme. And that's why it was such a wonderful mida that Tamar brought in, and Bemelech reflected itself in David HaMelech. Then Amaral says, Davacha, sorry, Davacha, Mol, v'zeh michtam shakosah yetam, pirish, she mesulik min kol p'chisus, v'davik bay shum rav v'mous, ke arlu davim mous, v'av ke odom mesalik arlo, sev yeshech zirif al arlo, al shum mesalik me'ito arlo. So there's a certain element of being being bottled from Chisus through the fact that he's not Mol. It's interesting because usually the Bris is seen as having Shaychus with Kedusha of Arayas. Dovid HaMelech, the faults that that Chazal and the Pasuk point out have to do with that area. But Al Kapanim, actually, that was the Toiv, that was the Milam. Davacha, Kishem Shekatnus Asad Mochel Matoir Chulu. Gimel Milas Niskaris Kan, Kol Achad Gedoyle Min Arshenek Ashetovin. It goes in order. Hamilas Asatzme Moch, or your Mashpas if they call Humidel Yoina. Avlasos of Jesus Shulaguf, Kiilu Eno Gufni, Dovaze Yoise. So the first one means he strove for all that is good and noble, and that's a tremendous milah. The second one is that his guf did not contain anything base be'etzim. Ke'ol ha'prisa guf ha'chomri, v'ne'od mol mesulag ha'prisa zeh. V'achar kach, she'os ha'asmai moch, l'um ha'teira, she'hoi le'mayla sichlis, u'mizeh tovim ke'el gimel madregis him zuag ha'bezu. So he says that, so these madregis go in order. Now, the one that's interesting is, the way it says over here is, okay, then you have makase tama, okay, and then it says kishem shevikat nusik. That's what's in mishagol menad lumatayra kach begad lusay. So the question is, what is the first and third one different? They're both another. I mean, one is after it was big. What exactly is the tosefes of the second version or the first version? So I think it's like this. When a person is born, when a person starts, he naturally doesn't know anything. He's naturally missing. So it would seem that the right thing to do would be to open yourself up to learning. Some people immediately have a problem, have an ego problem, and therefore they refuse to learn from other people because they need to see themselves as perfect, knowledgeable from the get-go. That is a midah p'chusa l'chol hadeis. You know, that person is lacking. Then you have a person who, okay, I sit down the first day and I say, yes, I'm a novice, I don't know anything, I need to listen, I need to understand, and so on. But as soon as I feel that I've learned, I shut down that apparatus. I'm not interested in learning more because, I'm full. I've got myself in the snap. So be'etzem, I'm not interested in making myself into a lack or missing or whatever it is, but I'm a realist. So I know that I don't know. I got Reuven to teach me. Now that I know, I don't need Reuven, that's that. There's a second darg of a person that he always is looking to perceive a lack in himself to be able to learn from others. When you have Mikol Molamda Iskalti, I learned Mikol Odom, that is a darga where the person makes himself into a lomate. When a person is born, it takes a realistic perception to say, I don't know much, I need to learn. That is the perception. That perception is a perception of a realist. But I don't want to stay that way. Since I want to be a somebody, I want to be accomplished, I want to feel, yeah, I know. So I'm willing to endure X amount of years of humbling and studying so that I learn and I know. But the idea that I will always be a makabel, if I'm always going to be an anav, that's an idea that it means the person is a real mevakesh chachma. I know that the day I feel I'm finished, I'm not going to grow anymore. And that fact that I have an unending capacity for growth means I also have an unending chisarin. I'm a chasa be'etzim because I can keep, you know, I can always keep growing. So it takes a certain darga of a person growing constantly to make that move. So the third darga is more than the first because it's something where the person makes himself into a kli kibul, into a chasa, and therefore can keep growing. I want to add another point about this. David HaMelech is the core Malchus of Yisrael. David HaMelech is the Melech. David HaMelech is Melech HaMashiach. And this Midah, obviously, is not just a beautiful Midah on David HaMelech, and it's wonderful Midah on David HaMelech. It's something that goes to the core of David HaMelech's Midah. It says on Kal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and Rashi says, because you memayit yourself. Every time Gdula comes, Klal Yisrael memayit themselves. So again, it's a beautiful midah, being humble, not taking anything for yourself. Those are definitely wonderful midas. But if you ask yourself, is that the defining midah of Klal Yisrael? Okay, you know, it's a very nice midah. But why would you say this is that midah? So it could be a pshat like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yachas with the nation that will be his is the nation that can be makabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be misnayik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the most. That's by definition. To be mechubet to somebody is going to be somebody that is mekabel. Just like nezach and akeva, the zach and ashpia and akeva is mekabel, and you're looking for somebody who's an appropriate mekabel. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpa is infinite, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpia b'ligvul, then it needs to be a mekabel that can be mekabel b'ligvul. So it means not that I have the most, but that I understand that I need my need for the most. Marshall, a person wants to say a share on a, you know, base medrash level. He wants to share with Rishonim, with Achronim, with Lamdas. Wonderful. He has a Talmud that comes who knows nothing. Okay. But so a Talmud who knows nothing, but all he wants to do is learn how to read the words of Gemara, or he wants to know how to read it and teach the simple words. At a very soon point, he's finished with me, and I don't have a kli kibul anymore. So he's certainly not my preference as a Talmud. The preference for a Talmud would be the one that has an insatiable appetite to learn. So the more I teach him, the more he wants to know, the more he wants to understand, and I can give more and more. So if we're asking ourselves, what is the midah of the ummah that is going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kli kibul, the answer is going to have to be the ummah that can be mekabel. The ummah that can be mekabel is not, it's the ummah that will constantly realize that no matter how much it has absorbed, it there's more to be absorbed. It says that, you know, midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like midas Bastam, a kli mole is machzik. In other words, for the person who doesn't know how to learn at all, my interest in knowing all the sfarim is limited. But if I know a lot, then ilchura, each and every nekuda I know is me'er in me, a rotzen to know more, to know better, to know deeper, whatever. So the midah that's noyheg by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that is this midah. So David HaMelech, who is represents, he is the embodiment of Klal Yisrael. So if you to ask yourself what is the most critical midah and such, so this is at the heart of it. It's an ummah that has an unending capacity for being mekabel. And that comes when the person keeps recognizing himself where he's lacking. So that's what it says, kishem, just like gadlusa so machon teira, so to be gadluso. When you make yourself a moch lekal teira, means I recognize I'm missing that. So a person who scrapes by and someone gives him $100,000, so at first he thinks himself be wealthy. Then he realizes there's a lot more you can do with $1 million. When somebody gives him $1 million, he realizes there's a lot more you can do with tens of millions of dollars. So that quality where the milui makes into chasa, that was the quality of David, and that's a core quality of Chayisro. Any questions, points, anything?
Can I ask? It doesn't really have to do with the Marab, but more with the Gemara, just the Malachim. Rebbe didn't speak about it at all, so he doesn't want to. But I bechlal don't understand whenever Gemara talks about like the different Malachim. Just a few words on how to understand such a Gemara, or it's just beyond me.
No, a Malach is a certain Hanhaga that is embodied in somebody. Let's give an example. Let's use an example. Imagine I have a business, and I need to make decision about how to allocate the budget. So research and development gets up and says a drasha, chaytiv labaseish, why research and development is most important. Manufacturing gets up and says a powerful drasha, why streamlining manufacturing process is important. Marketing gets up and explains why marketing is important, and so on. So everyone knows that all these are important, but when I'm able to embody it in a person, this person only knows advertisement. So he's speaking mitzad advertisement. A malach is sort of an embodiment of a particular anhaga that we can identify. So we can say, oh, there's madmina masmilim. Akash Baruch was sitting in din, and these are the words of the malach who says for, and these are the words the malach says against. That mahalach of for and against is a mahalach that allows for a certain a very, very clear emes to come out, because we see each one, we deherit fully. It's like an American legal system. You recognize that the truth will come about through an adversarial back and forth between the his lawyers and his lawyers. So a malach is sort of an encapsulation of a person, of a hanhaga, and that's why we can speak about this malach didn't do it, didn't want to do it, he resisted doing it. It's all speaking mitzad the toichen shebay. That's what the chazal mean.
And when we say that the satan is in the, it said even Gavriel is on our side, but the satan not. So
Gavriel is a mida that it demands that people are held accountable. The satan, when it's separate from that, because the Igmal says, who are satan, who are mekatre, who are this, the satan's job is to put up resistance, because people grow by resistance. If a person does treadmill and it's not helping him out much, the trainer may say, okay, we need to make the resistance bigger. It's something that the Sutton's role in the Bria is to put up resistance, because the Bria grows through that. So there is a variation. Chazal say, I guess that's a different word at the beginning, but here he's separating between the two.
I had a question. What is the idea? Rebbe mentioned there's an idea that a melech represents kedusha. What is kedusha in general, and why is a melech represent kedusha?
So kedusha means living in a different context. L'mashal, we're physical people, so the context of our life is physical pleasures, food, this, that. When somebody comes to us and speaks about values, ideals, yes, we recognize there's such a thing, but it's there. It's not what we are. It's kind of a world that we strive for. When I pull away from that, a person who's very involved in Ruchnius, he doesn't feel his self being in at all in a Gashmistic world. He's in a different world. And his world is different things that are valuable, pleasurable, etc. That's a sort of a sense of what Kedusha is about. And a melech is by definition, every person as a physical body has either or. A melech represents the pnimis. It's just like we say a neshama is not physical, it's not part of the world of Chumri. A melech is like the neshama Klal Yisrael. It represents the transcendental attribute of Klal Yisrael as a klal. Therefore, he should not be shy to that world.
So when the Torah asks of us to involve ourselves in the different physical aspects of the world, it's the shot that, of course, we have to involve ourselves in those physical aspects of the world, but it's not our focus. We can kind of look, we see above it. Or
Well, let's give an example. When you eat, when you eat a pizza and you're very into it, so that's physical. When you're sitting and the doctor says you have to eat 300 grams of broccoli and 200 grams of carrots and this, you're dealing with physical objects, but you're not into it. You treat it like a medical thing, a scientific thing. You don't treat it from its physical perspective. You're asking, okay, so how much fiber do I need? How many calories is the maximum? How much sodium? How much this? How much that? Being part of the physical world is, of course, where we function. The question is, what do we do with the bits and the pieces? A person goes on a trip that he enjoys. That's a physical experience. A person takes his kids or his class on a trip to a place that they enjoy. He could be with them, but his whole mos is what's happening to the kids. Are they enjoying it? Who's getting along with whom? Who has friends? Who doesn't have friends? Why is he going off to a side? I experience it very differently than they experience it.
So the idea of Oinig Shabbos, for example, that is not so much that you're enjoying. I mean, you're enjoying it, but that's not your focus.
Correct. Let's take an example of Oinig Shabbos in a way we can understand it. Imagine somebody is coming, a potential investor in your business, or donor for yeshiva, or whatever. So you, and this is really what you need desperately. So you sit and you think and you make a cheshbon nefesh and say, okay, he likes to have a very, very informal setting. So we're going to set up like this. We're going to serve this. This is going to be the food we're going to have. This is how we're going to go about it. I'm very involved in it. But what I'm involved in is the tachlis, not how wonderful the pizza is going to be. How wonderful pizza is important for that person. I know that when he eats a lot of pizza, he's in a good mood. When he drinks wine like this, it sets him off. When he has this, he gets annoyed. I'm totally involved in a different dimension of that same inyan. So a person's on Shabbos says, you know, when I put myself in a good mood on Shabbos, I have a different hagosha of Torah, of Yiddishkeit. You know, the mood puts me into a different framework. But if a person is sitting with the potatoes and the beans, he's sitting with the potatoes and beans. And yes, it's sometimes not easy to make that transition. Sometimes a lot harder to say, you know, I'm gonna, you know, I'll lighten up a little bit Shabbos, and then the Mela will be able to be a lot more ruchnistic, a lot more learning, a lot more davening, a lot more whatever it is.